This week we will be learning Chagiga, Daf Chaf. We left off on the bottom of Yotesem and Beis, two lines from the bottom. We had discussed in the Mishnah on Yotesem and Beis that there are certain levels when it comes to Tahara and Kedusha. The lowest level being Chulin, that's ordinary regular food, no special status, followed by Maiser, followed by Truma on a higher level, followed by Kodesh, Hekdesh on a higher level, and the highest level is Mechatos, the process with the Afer of the Parah Aduma. So if you notice that there's an additional level that's not listed in the Mishnah, which is a concept called Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh, which means that Chulin is ordinary food, but there were certain pious individuals who, to train themselves to always treat things with Taras HaKodesh, to always put themselves in the position where they could be ready to eat Kodesh, they would even eat Chulin with those circumstances. And yet the Mishnah did not include Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh as one of the levels. So says the Gemara, Amar of Mari, Shma Mina, from the fact that the Mishnah did not include Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh as one of the levels, we see from there that Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh Kegodesh Damu, that if a person decides he's going to treat his eating of Chulin with the same restrictions and special halachos as Kodesh, then that Chulin actually takes on the status of Kodesh. How do we see that? Mimai, turning to the top of Chaf Amud Aleph, Midilok Tani Bu Maila, from the fact that the Mishnah did not explicitly state Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh as a separate level, it must be it's included in the level of Kodesh itself. And that's the attempted proof. Says the Gemara, why is that a proof? The Dilma, perhaps, Haidilok Tani Bu Maila, the reason why the Mishnah did not include a separate level for Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh is Di'i Damu L'Truma, Hatani Truma, V'Damu L'Chulin, Hatani L'Chulin. It could be that Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh either has the status of Truma, or it has the status of Chulin. D'Tanya, because we have a Braisa that quotes both of those opinions. Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh, Chulin that's treated with the restrictions of Kodesh, Harein Kechulin. The Talmud Kama says it's treated like regular Chulin. Ruzer Bratzadok Omer, Harein Ketruma. It's like Truma. So it's not a proof, the fact that Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh wasn't listed as a separate level, that it's automatically Kodesh. It could be subsumed under the category of Chulin, or alternatively, it could be subsumed under the category of Truma. It's not a proof that it's subsumed under the category of Kodesh, and therefore that proof is rejected. Rather, the fact that Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh is considered like Kodesh is going to be proven from the end of the Mishnah on Yilchasam HaBeis. Elam Yisefa, what do we say at the end of the Mishnah? Yosef ben Yoezer HaYechasin Shabakuhuna. Yosef ben Yoezer was the most pious of the Kohanim. Vayesem at Pachto, Midras LaKodesh. And yet his head garment was considered Tamei for those who ate Kodesh. And Yochanan ben Gudgaga HaYeochal Al Taras HaKodesh Kol Yamav. No matter what he would eat, even when he would be eating regular Chulin food, he would always eat it with the same restrictions as he would of Kodesh. And nevertheless, Paitamat Pachto, Midrash Lechatos. Nevertheless, his garment, his cloak, his clothing was considered Tameh for those who dealt with the Mechatos, with the Efer HaPara, Para Aduma. So the Gemara makes an implication, a diuk. Lechatos in. One who guards himself, like Yochanan ben Gudgaga, on Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh, he's only viewed as Tamei to the level of Chatas, which was the highest level of Kedusha. However, LaKodesh Lo, why is he not considered Tamei to those who eat Kodesh? Alma, you see, Kisavar, that the Mishnah holds, Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh, Ki Kodesh Damu. You know why one who eats Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh, his clothing's not Tamei for those who eat Kodesh? Because what he's eating is Kodesh itself, halachically speaking. And therefore, it's the same exact level as Kodesh. So of course, it would not be Mitamei, one who's eating Kodesh. And therefore, that's the proof from the Seifa, from Yochanan ben Gudgaga, that one who eats Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh, that Chulin is actually considered to be Kodesh, and it's subsumed under Kodesh. Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Ben Elazar, Nafla mafaraso himanu. Let's say a person drops his sudar, he drops his garment on the floor, his friend picks it up. Amar l'chaveiro tenali. He says to his friend, oh, can I have that back? V'nasnalo. And the friend returns it to him, tameya. All of a sudden, that sudar now becomes tame. Now Rashi foreshadows the reason for this, and the reason is really twofold. Number one, as we're going to see on the very bottom of this amud, we have a chazaka that ein adam mishamer ma shebiyad chaveiro. Right? The issue we're dealing with here is shmira from tuma. If a person's not guarding something properly, we have to be concerned it became tame without him realizing it. So the first chazaka we have to understand is that when your object or your garment is in someone else's hand, the chazaka is that you yourself don't really guard it because it's not with you. And that would explain why when you drop your garment, you already are not watching it anymore when someone else picks it up. And now, what about the friend who picked it up? So the friend who picks it up thinks to himself, well, why would he let me pick it up? He doesn't know whether I'm tameh or whether I'm tahor. And the fact that the one who dropped it didn't care, it must be he's not concerned whether this suda remains tahor or becomes tameh. And therefore, the one who picks it up also has a hisach hadas. He has no care. He's not focused on trying to maintain the tahara status of the sudar. And therefore, both the one who dropped it and the friend who picks it up are not thinking about whether this garment is tahor or tameh. And therefore, we assume halachically that that afaraso, that sudar, has the status of tuma. Amrav Yonasan ben Amram, nischalfalo kelim shel Shabbos bekelim shel chol velavshon nitmu. Let's say a person has a wardrobe in his closet, and he has some clothing he wears during the week, some clothing he wears on Shabbos. So he thinks he's taking off a weekday garment, but in fact, he pulls off a Shabbos garment. He puts it on. So he thinks he's wearing his weekday clothing. It turns out he by accident chose a Shabbos garment. So nitmu. So we view that beged as being tameh. And again, Rashi foreshadows that at this point, what the Gemara thinks the reason why it's tameh is that we have a general rule that if a person is guarding a certain object or a certain piece of clothing, thinking it is one thing, but erroneously thinking that, it turns out he was mistaken as to what he was really holding, that's not considered a shimur, because he was guarding the wrong thing. And therefore, a person who thinks he's wearing his weekday clothing, but really he's wearing his Shabbos clothing, we view that as if he's not guarding the object at all, the clothing at all, because he's guarding the wrong thing, at least in his own mind, and therefore that's not a proper shimur. Similarly, Amar Belazar Bar Tzadok, Maisa B'shnei Nashim Chaveros, there were two women who were not Ami Aretz, who were familiar with Halacha, especially when it comes to Tumat Tahara, Shenischalfu Lahen Kleim Beis HaMerchatz. As often happens in the bathhouse, in the gym, in the showers, people put their clothing down, and often it gets swapped. Especially you just have a white shirt, you have a black garment. So these women both put their garment down and ended up taking each the other's garment home. And they realized it once they got home. Ubal Mais Lefnei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was brought the shayla of what's the tuma and tahara status of these garments, v'timin, and he said they're tame. And the assumption is for the same reason as we quoted when it comes to the Shabbos and weekday clothing, that the fact that one is wearing clothing, at least for a certain amount of time, thinking it's one thing, and it turns out he was really wearing or guarding the wrong clothing, that's a complete lack of shmira, a lack of guarding the object and or clothing, and therefore, halachically, Rabbi Akiva said, we have to view both garments as being tame. So now the Gemara is going to question this assumption. The assumption that when one is guarding an object or a piece of clothing, thinking it's one thing, it turns out it's something else, that's automatically a breakdown in shmira and guarding, and we will impose tuma on that object or clothing. The Gemara is going to question that assumption. Maskev la Rabbi Yoshia. Roshi has the following question. Ela me'ata, what about the following braisa? Hypothetically, let's say a person was holding a basket and he thought the basket was containing wheat bread. It turns out the basket he was holding contained pastorin, barley bread. So when we say Hachi Nami didn't miss, does that barley bread automatically become tame because he didn't realize which bread he had in the basket? It sounds wrong. Maybe you'll tell me, yes, that's the chiddush, that's the rule. The rule is, if you don't know what you're guarding, it automatically becomes tameh. But we see that's not true explicitly. Tanya, we have a brace that says, Hamisham resachav is b'cheska shel yayin, you're guarding a barrel thinking that it's what you're guarding is a barrel of wine, v'nimtzi shel shemen, and eventually you uncover the lid and realize it's a barrel of oil. So you were guarding what you thought was wine, it turns out to be oil, you were guarding the wrong thing. So tahor milatame, that oil now is tahor in the sense that it cannot make other items tame. So this is a complete contradiction. We said in several cases earlier, both when it came to the weekday and Shabbos garments, and in the case of the two women who mixed up their clothing, that if you're guarding what you think is one thing, it turns out to be another, there's automatic tumah. And yet here, you thought it was yayin, it turns out to be shemen, and yet we say tahor milatame. It's tahor in the sense that cannot make other things tame. Says the Gemara, hold on 1 second. Ulatameh, according to your reasoning, in Masefa. Look at the very next line in that braisa. V'yasur milechol. It's true, that shemen that you uncover, that you didn't know was there in the barrel. It's true, it's tahor, in the sense that it cannot be metame other things, but it's also usher to eat. It's usher to consume that shemen. Amai. If that shemen was completely tahor, then why would it be usher to eat it? So there must be a unique case in the circumstance of the wine that turned out to be oil that we're not understanding. There must be a detail that we haven't uncovered. Amar Rav Yirmiyah, yes. The case over there was, Biomer shmartia midavar hametama, v'lo midavar aposla. When I accepted my shmira on that barrel of wine. So when I accepted, I said like this, I'm guarding this barrel of wine from anything that if it would touch the wine, it would cause the wine to be able to impurify other things. However, I never accepted shmira guarding on this barrel of wine from things that would simply make the wine usher to consume, but not impurify other things. As we've spoken about in the past, there's a concept of posel and a concept of letame. Posel means that the object right now that I'm holding, that cannot be consumed, but it would not transmit tuma further. And then there's something called milatame, which means not only is what I'm holding usher to eat or consume, but it also would transmit tuma further. So at the end of the day, the Gemara did explain the resha and the seifa of this braisa, but we are still left with a question. Right? Because at the end of the day, you accepted a shmira, whatever the shmira was, on wine, and yet it turned out to be oil. So the Gemara is saying that whatever shmira you accepted, that shmira worked. It happens to be you didn't accept a shmira on certain things. But hold on 1 second. Why did this shmira work? You were doing shmira on the wrong thing. So therefore, this is really a kasha. We've said in the case of the weekday and Shabbos clothing, in the case of the women mixing up their clothing in the bathhouse, that if you're guarding what you think is one object and it turns out to be the other, it's automatic tumah. And here we're saying that if you did shmira on wine and you accepted shmira in a certain sense, that shmira works, even though what you were guarding was actually oil. So now the Gemara just goes on a little bit of a tangent here. Once we made this ukimta on the circumstances of this braisa, that you essentially accepted half a shmira. I accept shmira only on objects that would make this wine tummy to other things, but not on things that would just make the wine unfit for consumption. So the Gemara questions that idea. Umi ikan itirusa lapalga? Can a person really do that? Can a person really accept upon himself only half shmira? Meaning, isn't it all or nothing? How can I say I'll guard this from only one aspect and not the other? Do we really find such a concept? So the Gemara says, in. Yes, we do. Va'atanya. Hoshi yado basal. Let's say a person puts his hand into a basket. V'asal al ksefo. The basket is on his shoulder. V'amagrefa baso chasal. And inside the basket, there's a magrefa. A magrefa is an iron utensil they would use to either scrape out ashes from an oven and also to separate figs that were stuck together. So again, just picture the scene. A person is carrying a basket on his shoulder. Inside the basket is this one of these magrefas. V'hayav libo al sal, v'lo hayav libo al magrefa. So he realized when he picked up the basket, he was carrying a basket, that's obvious, but he forgot, he didn't remember that the basket contained a magrefa, he didn't look inside, so he never thought about the magrefa. He didn't realize he was carrying it. So says this braisa, hasal tahor, the magrefa tamea. So because he wasn't thinking about the magrefa, as we've spoken about several minutes ago, the whole concept of being able to guard something from becoming tamei means you have to know about it. You have to know what you're doing. And therefore, the basket, which he thought about, which was on his shoulders, which he was paying attention to, that remains tahor because he's focusing on that. However, the magrefa, this iron utensil inside, becomes tamei because he wasn't thinking about it. He didn't realize it was there, so he didn't have the opportunity to do a proper shmira and guard it from tuma. So the Gemara asks, hasal tahor? Really, the basket's tahor? What about titami hamagrifa? Lasal, why wouldn't we say that you have a magrifa, this iron utensil, inside the basket, and we're saying the magrifa is tameh? If the magrifa is tameh, and the magrifa is sitting inside the basket, wouldn't that automatically mean that the magrifa would transmit tuma to the sal, to the basket? So the Gemara answers, no, ein kli mitame kli. Once you already got down to the level of a kli, a utensil that's tameh, so that would not be able to transmit tumah to another kli. So it's true the magrefa that sits inside the basket is tameh, but it doesn't have the capacity to transmit tumah to the basket. Says the Gemara, v'lit me masha basal. So let's say there's figs in the basket. Let's say there's any other object in the basket, something that's food. Why wouldn't the magrefa be metameh that which is in the basket? Amravina, it must be, but Omer Shmartiv Midavar Shemitamo, Velo Midavar Haposlo. The answer is, because, and this is why we brought this whole braisa, we have another example of Nitirusa Lapalga, a person who accepted a Shmira only halfway. What did the person say here? A person said, I'm guarding this basket from anything that, if it touched something inside, or the basket, would be able to not only cause impurity to the basket itself, but also to allow the basket to be matami other things. But I was never shomer it from something that would just posel it. Right? And says Rashi, haposla milishtamish pataharos, to be able to use it for taharos likachila. And therefore, you see there's a concept of being able to guard something halfway. That was all in parentheses, that was all a tangent. However, says the Gemara, Mikol Makom Kasha. We're left with a Kasha. Let's restate what the Kasha is. We said three statements earlier. We said one statement from Yonasan ben Elazar, that if a person drops something, his friend picks it up, automatically it's Tameh, because the one who dropped it lost his Das from it. He figures the other guy's holding it, I don't have to watch it. The guy who picks it up figures, why did he let me pick it up? I don't care about it anymore. Statement number two was by Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram, who said if a person thinks he's putting on his weekday clothing, it turns out it's his Shabbos clothing, it's Tameh. Why? The assumption was because if you are holding something or wearing something that you think is one thing, it turns out it's the other, automatic Tumah. Case number three, Relazar bar Tzadok, two women mix their clothing up at the bathhouse, Rabbi Kiva Paskin, they're both Tameh. Why? Because at the time when they were wearing it, they didn't know what they were wearing, automatically no Shmirah. What's this Mikol Makom Kasha? The Kasha is, we have a Beferish Brisa that says, when a person guards a barrel of wine thinking it's wine, and it turns out it's shemen, it's oil, whatever he guarded it for, it's a good guarding, it's a proper shmira. But why? He was guarding the wrong thing. That's the big question. But the Gemara asks a second question on that. The same question, just from another source. V'od Mosiv Rav Bar Avua. Another question. Maisa bish achas shabas lefnei Rabbi Shmuel. A woman came before Rabbi Shmuel, but amro lo, and said to him, Rebbe, beged ze arakti v'tahara. V'lo haya b'libi lishomra b'tahara. I was weaving a garment with tahara. Rashi explains that from the time that this garment was the size of 3x3 etzbaos, which is the smallest size that even a poor person would essentially use a cloth or a rag, and that's when it becomes quote unquote a kli, which is when it becomes royal kabbal tuma. When it was smaller than that, even if you're not guarding it, it's not considered a kli, so it has no capacity to become tameh. But this woman says to Rabbi Shmuel, from the moment it became 3x3 etzbaos, I guarded it that it should not become tame. However, v'loya belibi l'shomro b'tahara. However, I wasn't thinking about that. So again, she's saying, I know I was tahor. When I did it, I was tahor. However, I wasn't thinking about if it was coming into contact with something that was tame. I simply didn't have it on my mind. When Rishma looked into it further, he pressed her, he asked her further questions. Amar lo, she said, Rebbe, you discovered a detail in the story. I'll confess, nida mashcha imi bechevel. There was actually a nida that was also working on this rope, on this string with me. And that's a problem, because it could be that a nida has a certain status, tumas hesis, just by her holding something. And therefore, because this woman wasn't thinking about whether or not this ariga, this string, was going to become in contact with anything tame, it turns out, actually it did come in contact with something tame, namely this nida. Rabbi Shmuel proclaimed, Kama gedolim derech hachamim. The hachamim's words are so great. Shehi omrim belibo l'shomer tahar, ein belibo l'shomer tame. Because they made a rule that if you are intending, you have in mind to guard something for the sake of tahara, then whatever you're guarding remains tahar. But if you don't, it's tame. Why? What was their logic? Because inevitably, when you don't intend to guard something, you're a little bit careless and you let things happen that can ultimately lead to tuma. And a second story which parallels the first story. Shuv Maisa Bisha Acha Shvasna Rishmal. Another woman comes before Rishmal, and Amar Lo, she says to him, Rebbe, Mapazu Araktiya Batahara. I wove this tablecloth with Tahara, meaning I myself was Tahor. However, Lo, I believe it was Shamra. I didn't intend to guard it with Tahara. And Umitok Badiko Shayar Bishmal Bodka, he looked into the matter. Amar Lo, Rebbe, Nema Nifsika Liyuk Shartiya Bapiha. She says, Rebbe, you know what? What happened? It could be that the string I was using for the tablecloth snapped, and essentially the nida put it in her mouth to tie it. Now, what's the problem with that? She put it in her mouth even before it became a beged, Rashi says. However, I wasn't paying attention. And it could be that after it became a beged, after it became a tablecloth, at least in the smallest shear, it was still wet. And if something's still wet, the rope, the spit of a nida is still wet, that's considered an av hatoma, very bad. Amar Yishmael, again, kama gidolim derech chachamim, she omrim belibo l'shomro tahor, ein belibo l'shomro tameh. Because they said, only if you're intending to guard it, it's going to be tahor. If you're not, it's going to be tameh. So what do you see from this? That if a person in his heart intends to guard something, we validate that. Seemingly, even if you end up guarding the wrong thing. Meaning from these two stories, what emerges is that let's take the case of the wine and the shemen. I'm intending belibo l'shomro for yayin, betahara. It sounds like the chachamim are saying here, good. As long as you intended to guard something with betahara, we validate that shmira. If you don't, you don't. But that's a question. Because we said by the weekday and Shabbos clothing, we said by the women that if you're guarding the wrong thing, there's no such thing as shmira. But we have two questions on that. Number one, the case where one guarded the barrel of wine thinking it was wine, it turned out to be shemen, it was tahar because your shmira was good. Why was your shmira good? You were guarding the wrong thing. And over here we're saying, in these cases of the women, Rabbi Shmuel is proclaiming that if you would have only intended to guard something betahara, that would have been good enough. The implication is, even if you would have been wrong, the very fact that you would have intended to guard something betahara, that's all you need. So those are really just the two questions we have over here. Parenthetically, this lashon that Rabbi Shmuel uses of kama gedolim divrei chachamim, the Rashash notes, also comes up in the Gemara in Shabbos, and daf Yudalef on Beis, when Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha says, very well known Gemara, that there's an isser to read near the light of a candle on Shabbos, lest a person come to tilt the candle, and that will be a malacha. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha says, you know what? I can read by the light of the candle, and I'm not going to tilt it. The Gemara records that in the end, he was reading, and without even realizing it, he started reaching his hand to tilt the candle. Now, Tosus points out over there that he caught himself. He didn't actually do it, but over there, he proclaims, Kama gedolim derech chachamim. I mean, we have to trust that when the chachamim said something, they knew what they were talking about.
Right? He wanted to do it, he's about to do it. And the Chachamim, they were smart when they said, don't read by the light of a candle, you might come to tilt it. They knew what they were talking about. They were trying to protect you. So to hear, when the Chachamim said you should have in mind the Garsaling Bitahara, they knew what they were talking about. They knew what they were trying to prevent you from doing. So we're left with a question, a stira. Do we say when a person is guarding something and it's the wrong thing, is that a proper shmira or not? So we're going to try to answer. Says the Gemara, five lines from the bottom. Bishlam al Rav Elazar bar Tzadok. Remember, we have to get the opinions in order over here. Who was Elazar bar Tzadok? He was the one who said the two women exchanging their garments at the bathhouse. So there you can get out of it by saying, really, when people are guarding the wrong thing, it's still a good shmira. Well, how come over there, when they took home the wrong garment, why did Rabbi Akiva paskin, it was Tameh? Because there it was a unique case. Kolachas viachas omeras, each one, when they got home, said to themselves, chaverti ishes ama'aretz. The other woman has my clothing. And she's the wife of an ama'aretz, meaning she's not makbid on tumatahara. And therefore, umaschadaitamina. And therefore, you know what? I'm giving up hope on that garment that she took by accident, that it remains tahor. I gave up because they don't treat Tumah Tahara properly in their home, and then she took it home. So if both women think that, then each woman had a hesach hadas from the Tumah Tahara status of their garment. And that's why each garment is tameh. Not because when you guard the wrong thing, that's automatically not a shmira. Maybe it is. Over there it was different because each of the women essentially gave up hope that their garment remained tahor because they felt it was in the hands of Ami Haaretz who would not treat it properly. That's how you get out of the answer or the statement of Rav Elazar bar Tzadok. Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram, who was the one who discussed the case of the weekday and Shabbos clothing, Nami, I could again explain it out. Really, when you guard the wrong thing, it's a good shmira. Well, why over there was the clothing that I thought was weekday clothing? It turned out to be Shabbos clothing. Why is that Tameh? I thought if I guard something and it's the wrong thing, it's still a good shmira. There, it's kivun de kilim de Shabbos, because it turns out that he was wearing Shabbos clothing, oven lehu shimur tfei. And Shabbos clothing generally requires a higher level shmira. Masach daita minayhu. He already had a hesach adas from it. Rashi says, there are two levels of shmira here. When a person is wearing weekday clothing, he guards it in a minimal level. When he's wearing Shabbos clothing, he guards it in a much higher level. And since this person thought he was wearing weekday clothing, he only guarded it on a lower level. But it turned out it was Shabbos clothing. So it's a lack of the proper shmira that Shabbos clothing needed. It's normally guarded with a higher level of shmira. Because he thought it was weekday clothing, he guarded it at a lower level. And that's why it was a tummy issue. That's how Rashi understands. Interestingly, the Tosfos Rid says different pshat. He says, since a person guards his Shabbos clothing more, and now he thinks he's wearing his weekday clothing, when he finds out, the moment he realizes it's in fact his Shabbos clothing, he's going to be sad that he didn't give this clothing the proper shmira, and that sadness causes a hesach hadas. Meaning it's not that he guards the clothing with a lower level shmira, it's that the moment he realizes that he's wearing Shabbos clothing and didn't treat it with proper respect, he immediately has a complete hesach hadas from the status of this garment, and that's what causes it to become tameh. Rav Yashiv in the Ha'aros says this way as well. But we're left with one more of the opinions quoted earlier. Which case was that? That was the case of the friend who dropped his garment, and the other friend next to him picked it up. So over there, Eller, Bionasim ben Elazar, Naveluhu Shimer Biyadi Dechavre. It seems like there's no problem over here. No one was holding the wrong garment. Everyone was there at the same time. So just because he dropped it, but the friend picked it up. So he sees the friend holding it. So it sounds like this should be a good Shimur. Why would this not be considered guarding his object? Why do we say that it's Tameh? Again, Rashi already foreshadowed this for us. Amr Yochanan, Chazaka ain Adam Mishamer, Mashab Yad Chavero. Because we have a rule, we have a chazaka, we have a status that a person doesn't guard that which is in the hand of his friend. And therefore, when he drops the object and someone else picks it up, he says, you know what? He's holding it, I'm not holding it, I have no control over it. I'm relinquishing my ability to watch this garment properly, and that's what enabled this garment to achieve the status of Tumah. Now this chazaka of in adam mishan mashia bechavero actually comes up in a way halacha lemaisa. Rav Yashiv quotes a very interesting minchas chinuch. So the Magen Avraham in Simin Taf Samech says that if a person is working hides to make parchment for a Sefer Torah, it's actually okay, it's permissible for a non-Jew to be working the hides, and a Jew just will stand over him, Omid al Gabav, to watch him do it. Says the Magen Avraham, similar to baking matzos, that you could really technically have a guy bake the matzos, and a Jew would just look over the guy and make sure he's doing everything properly. It could be only by a get, by a divorce document, then since you need everything to be lishma, then you need a Jew to do the entire process. That's the Magen Avraham. However, the Beis Yosef says, really, by matzah? You could have a guy bake matzah and a Jew watch over him? No, it's not enough for a Jew to stand over the non-Jew, because we would assume the non-Jew is not doing it for the proper reasons. So the Minchas Chinuch comes along and asks on the Beis Yosef that by matzah, you don't need asiya lishma. No one said you have to make matzah. It's about shimur, guarding it from chametz. So if the Jew is standing over the non-Jew, making sure the dough is not becoming chametz, shouldn't that be all you need? So the Minchas Chinuch answers, that's true, that if that shimur of a Jew works. But, says the Minchas Chinuch, we have a chazaka that ein adam mishamer ma shebiyad chavero. And therefore, it can't be by matzahs that even if the Jew is standing over watching the guy bake the matzahs, but if the whole thing, the whole point we need by matzah is a shimur, is a proper shimur, where if it's the Jew's matzah, but it's in the hand of the guy, we have a chazaka, that a person cannot do a proper shmira with his object if it's in the hand of someone else. And that's why the Minchas Chinuch agrees with the Beis Yosef against the Magen Avraham, that when it comes to baking matzahs, you cannot have a Jew standing over a guy watching him bake the matzahs. Very interesting how that could even apply. Halacha l'maisa. Says the Gemara, below, is it really not the case that a person doesn't watch what's in his friend's hands, or that he wouldn't watch what's in someone else's hand? It's not true. Turning over to Chaf Amud Beis, V'atanya, the verse that says, so let's say you have wagon drivers, you have workers who are carrying for you taros. Now Rashi points out, they're carrying wine, let's say, which is taros, in barrels of cheres. Now that's very important, because when it comes to other kelim, a metal kli, if someone's touching the kli from the outside, and that person is tameh, that can make the kli tameh. There's one kli that's an exception to that rule, and that's a kli cheres. When it comes to an earthenware vessel, as we saw earlier in the Masechta, and we're going to see later as well, that we say, kli cheres einu metame migabo. A kli cheres is not metame on the outside of it, only on the inside airspace. And therefore, this individual put all his taros wine in a kli cheres, in an earthenware barrel, but yet it was being carried by his workers, his wagon drivers, who mistama were ami ha'aretz, and yet we say that the taros remain tahor. And says Rashi, we're not concerned that they might have touched it on the inside. Why? Says the Gemara, afal pi shehiflu ben yosef mil. Even if the owner is far away from them, he's more than a mil distance away, taros, they remain tahor. Now why? Says Rashi, because kol shaisa savri hashta asi. There's a level of fear, meaning it's true the owner's far away, but he can come back any minute, and therefore these workers would be nervous to touch the inside of the taharos. But says Rashi, alma adam mishamer mashi biyad chavero. Hold on 1 second. The wine belongs to the owner. It's being watched in the hands of these workers. And yet we're saying the wine's tamei. What happened to the chazaka of ein adam mishamer mashi biyad chavero? Shouldn't this automatically become tameh because now the owner gives up hope or relinquishes any responsibility of deciding or guarding whether this wine is tameh and tahor because now it's with his workers. But over here we say it remains tahor. However, the Braisa continues and says, if he says, you know what, you go on your way, I'll catch up with you several hours later. Then, once they can't see him anymore, once he's out of sight, taharos tameos, then already it's tameh. Because now there's no more fear factor. The workers are not nervous he's going to come back because he just told them he's not coming back for a couple hours. So the Gemara asks over here, I don't understand. Maishna resha, maishna seifa. As Rashi explains, if we're discussing a chazaka of ein adam mishamer mashia b'chaveiro, so either the chazaka is true or it's not true. So if we're going to say the taros remain taros, apparently we say a person could watch something even when it's in someone else's possession. And if we say the taros are tameos, it's because we have a chazaka that a person doesn't watch things in someone else's possession. But how can you say both? Only one can be true. So Amar Yitzchak Nafcha, Reisha v'metar chamar v'pol v'kach. Really, we say a person is not mishar ma'ashe b'chaveiro. Like we said in the last line of the previous Amud, there's a chazaka, a person does not properly watch something that his friend is holding. Why in the Reisha, therefore, do the taros remain tahor? Oh, it's because the owner made his workers and the wagon drivers go to the mikvah themselves before the journey. And therefore, even if they would touch the taros, the yayin on the inside, they wouldn't make a tameh because they just went to the mikvah. They're pure, says the Gemara, Yahaki Seifanami. So then, the Reisha and the Seifa seem to be talking about the same circumstance. So if that's the case in the Seifa also, that he was matahar them in the mikvah before they left for the journey, then why in the Seifa when he tells them, I'll meet you in 3 hours, why is it tameh? There's no risk here. Even if they touch it, they're tahor, so there's no issue, there's no concern of it becoming tameh. So the Gemara says, no, the issue is, ein ama aretz makbid al maga chaveiro. Okay, he was matar his workers. What's going to happen? The workers are going to see another friend on the road. Hey, get over here. Oh, you want to touch this wine? So the ama aretz is tahor, but he's going to allow third parties to come in and touch the wine. Those third parties were never properly vetted for tameh tahara. So you have to be concerned, the third party was brought in by these workers and touched the wine and made it tameh. Says the Gemara, okay, I'll bring it back to the Reisha. Yachi, if that's the circumstance, that we're concerned that I'm a Aretz worker, even if he's tahor, he's going to bring in a third party, and that third party's going to touch the wine, then Reisha Nami. Then why should the wine and the Reisha become tahor? Why should it remain tahor? Shouldn't we be concerned that even though the worker himself is tahor, he just went to the mikvah, he might bring in a friend to touch the wine. Says the Gemara, Bibalahem derecha kalsum. No, in the Reisha, the reason why it remains tahor is because the Ama Aretz would never do that. He went to the mikvah, so he knows that the owner's serious about maintaining the tahor status of this wine. And they're taking such a path that the owner can really come up on them, sneak up on them at any moment. And therefore, there's a fear that that this worker would not really bring in a third party and go near the wine because he knows the owner would not want that. And since he knows the owner could pop out at any moment from behind the bush, wherever they're going, maybe it's a snake path, he can't really see where the next turn is. Therefore, we're not concerned about that, says the Gemara. Well, if they're really going on a path that's a snake path where the owner could pop out at any moment, then Seifa Nami. Then in the Seifa, why do we say the taros are tame? Why are we concerned the Ama Aretz is going to bring in a third party to touch the wine? Wouldn't he have the same level of fear that the owner might pop out at any moment? Says the Gemara, the Seifa is different. Because since the owner said, you go forward, I'll meet you in 3 hours, it's true. The worker knows the owner doesn't want him bringing third parties. The worker knows the owner wants this yayin to remain tahar. However, the owner said he's giving him 3 hours. So it's true. Technically, he could come at any moment, but the fact that the owner told him, I'll meet you in 3 hours or I'll meet you in a long time from now, the worker believes that and trusts that if he brings in an outside party 20 minutes in, he thinks the owner's not going to show up. Therefore, he doesn't have the proper fear not to bring him in. Therefore, in the Seifa, when the owner made that claim about coming in 3 hours, that's where we say the taros are tameh, because we have to be concerned that he brought in a third party. Whereas in the Reisha, where the owner didn't say that, and they're on such a path that the owner can touch them at any moment, that's when we say that he has a certain fear, he won't bring in a third party, and therefore the taros are taros. But again, this was a rejection of this brisa being a rejection, in the sense that we still maintain a chazaka that in adam mishamer masha biyad chaveiro. Hadron Loach, Ein Darshin, we'll stop here, we'll pick up from the very interesting Mishnah next time.